Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Good evening. Good morning in some places around the world. And good late evening for us here in Central Time Zone. This is your host, Minister Von Dillis, and I'm coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas. And let's just start by saying we'll send out our comfort and our blessings to all of the families that are mourning today all around the world. We'll start with the leaders in South Africa with former President Mandela. We just ask blessings over Nelson Mandela family, his children, and all around the world, and all of the things that he's done. We just thank God for him being able to use the talents that was placed inside of him to make a difference in the part of the world where he was existing, and that ultimately touched all of the world in some way. So also again for the family of Dr. Paul Crouch, we send out our blessings to Jan and to the boys, Matt and Paul Jr., and of course to their spouses and children and friends and family in the ministry, and all of the ones such as myself that was touched by the ministry and his leadership of just being led by God, being obedient to God, even when those around him didn't understand, even about the satellites and just as we look back and see how he just was obedient to God regardless of what people were saying about him and how it made a difference that it too changes lives all around the world. And so, again, to the Crouch family and to the Mandela family, God bless you. Another special comforting love note has been sent to the Haddon family in Columbia, Tennessee, in the loss of their brother and uncle and dad, Michael Haddon. I remember Michael Haddon in a very positive way. Just God bless you as you mourn the loss of your loved one. And then all around the country, whoever it is that may be in your life today that was there yesterday is not there today, God bless you and keep you and just keep you in his arms and keep you close to him. We just thank God for each and every one of them, each and every one of them. So we're going to start today with our prayer. And our prayer is going to be, after our prayer, then we're going to get right into the word for today. And I just thank each and every one of you for being obedient and tuning in. I'd like you to get your sword, which is the Spirit of God word. Make sure that you get your pen and your paper so you can take notes. So as you go back over and study the word, remember we're studying to make ourselves stronger in all situations, even when the different obstacles come our way that we feel like is too heavy for us to carry. Remember that what we have upon us is never more powerful or defeating than what we have inside of us. And if we have invited Christ to come and live inside of us, and if we continually to pour and feed our spirit with his word, that is our sword. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's a sword that can penetrate through any issues that are in your life. But if you are without, we're being fed by something. We each are being fed by something daily. So if you're without the word, if that's not what you're feeding upon, you may have a lot of junk in your life that you're feeding your spirit each and every day. And when something happens in your life, it's got to rely on whatever's inside of you. That's the only thing you're going to be able to look to use. That's the only thing you can draw to. Whatever you have poured inside of yourself, whatever you have fed yourself daily. So if you fed your spirit a lot of junk, a lot of cursing, a lot of negative behaviors, then when something comes in your life, and not if, but when, then that's what you're going to rely on. That's all you have. And that's why you can walk around and pretend to be one person until something happens, and then whatever's inside of you will expose itself to the world. And, you know, the enemy doesn't care who he exposes you to. He wants to embarrass you. He wants to downgrade you. He wants people to laugh at you and to make fun of you. He wants to take every position away from you. Now, it's up to you, will you allow that? You have the opportunity right now to choose this day that you're going to serve the Lord. Choose this day that you're going to feed yourself the Word of God. Choose this day that you're going to invite Jesus Christ to come and live inside of you. His Holy Spirit is going to be your Lord and your Savior. You have the choice today to confess your sin before the Lord. Hallelujah. So God gave us that special gift of his only begotten Son, and that for whosoever believeth shall be a new creature in Christ. So you shall be saved if you believe it in your heart. So you have the same opportunities, because he says in the same verse that you shall not perish. Instead of perishing, he said you should have what? Everlasting life. Everlasting life. So whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So because he sent his son into the world not to condemn the world, not to condemn you, but again, but that the world through him might be saved. So he's looking out for your good. And we're feeding ourselves because this is what he said is good for us. Amen? Amen. So when we optical cell, we can rely on the word. We can stand on this word, and it gives us our strength even when our flesh feels like it's just falling apart. It lifts us up when the world tries to tear us down. It doesn't mean we don't cry through it, but we make it through it. Amen? Amen. So that's what keeps us here and keeps us in our right mind, okay? Hallelujah, hallelujah. So I thank you, Lord Jesus, for today. I thank you for just being with us on our jobs today and our schools and just watching over us as we travel up and down the dangerous highways and byways, streets and roads. I thank you, dear Father, for being a God that is everywhere. You know, you're omnipresent, and I just love you, Jesus, and I thank you for that. I thank you for watching over my children, LaMega and JD and James, and for watching over my grandkids, Tatiana and Daniel, Janelle and James. I just thank you for watching over my mom, Miss Annabelle Harwell, my brothers, T, Reggie, and DeConflin, my sisters, Dee and Barbara, and all of their loved ones and families around them. I thank you, Jesus, just for giving us another opportunity to feed upon the word and not just to walk around as weak soldiers or like sheep that is lost without shepherds. But dear Father, but to really have an opportunity again to choose to be with you, choose to learn you. And then I thank you, Jesus, for the life that you put in our pathway to pray for today and to say something today. And may whatever it is that we've said today may be pleasing in your ears, in your sight. I thank you, Jesus, for thinking that we're all worth being saved. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your kingdom, for going ahead and preparing a place for us of where you are, so one day we may be there too. And dear Father, we ask that this ministry be blessed by your graciousness, and may you just hold us in your comforting arms. And we ask each and every listener right now that is live, that is in the later on, that are in the chat room, dear Father, as you look inside of their hearts, dear Father, and just bless them and remove anything that is not of you. And we pray this and other blessings upon your name as we invite you to come and live inside of us. We invite you to come and teach us your word. Feed us your powerful word that it will make the will in the house of the Lord forever. In Jesus' name, I may decrease and you increase. Amen. Amen. Such a mighty blessing just to be a part of the Christian life. I thank the Lord for just everything it is that he's done, what he's doing right now. Even the things that we don't recognize that he's doing, he's still making a way right now. He's still keeping lights on right now for somebody who knows that your bill is way beyond. He's keeping the eviction notices away. He's keeping that that judge is hard, softened, and even though what you did you know was wrong, he's keeping the sick and sound mind, even though the doctors and everybody around you is looking at you like you're doomed. He's keeping your spirits up high. He's keeping that joy. And so I invite you to please don't give your joy away. Don't allow nobody to come and frustrate you enough that you just say, forget it. You can have my joy. I'm going to join on your bandwagon, and I'm going to get upset. I'm going to join on your bandwagon, and I'm going to do something or say something that is not pleasing to the eye of the Lord. Because even those that are laughing at you, mocking at you, and lying at you, if you decide to turn around and be on their side and do exactly what they want, believe me, they're still going to talk about you about something, okay? So don't give up and invite them to church instead of allowing them to invite you out to somewhere that they would be, okay? So if they can invite you there, why can't you invite them into the house of the Lord? Even if it's your house or wherever you may choose, you may decide to invite them out to dinner at a restaurant and let them know up front. But it's going to be about over dinner, we're going to talk about the Lord. And don't be ashamed of that subject. Don't be ashamed to die. And you say, well, I don't want to get into the middle of it and someone start asking me questions that I can't answer. But let them know that this is not going to be an argumentative thing, but we're just going to study a little bit about the Lord. Here's what God has prepared in my heart to speak to you about tonight. Any questions that you have, you know, we can pray about it, and maybe the next time you can come and meet me in my church, and we can talk to someone of the leaders there to get some of your questions answered. In the meantime, let me direct you to pray to God that he will reveal some of those answers to you. Amen? Amen. You know, most of the time, the same people who are talking about, you know, this is not correct in the Bible, or this is falsehood in the Bible, if you just challenge them and ask them what part, most of them doesn't have an answer for you because they're just listening to something that they just heard, you know. The enemy is silly, so he doesn't give you the whole just of anything. He just give you a little bit, and then they'll just stick it out there and wave it and boost their stuff up and make they really got a cause, a really got a valid fact, point, but it's really not. It just fades away because it has no concrete foundation to hold it up. All of the word is true from the beginning to the end. Hallelujah. I heard a story one time about a lawyer that wanted to be saved, and he just didn't know how. And then while driving in his car, he read a Jesus Saves bumper sticker on the car in front of him. So he followed the car until it finally stopped in a church parking lot. And he immediately got out of his car and he came over to the people in the car that he had been following. And he told them that he had read their bumper sticker and asked them, how can I be saved? Well, that man is now radically saved today. But see, it's, you never know what it is that you're doing. It's just a little bitty thing like that. But when God is opening up someone's heart and, you know, that seed has finally been grown and it's penetrated through there, even a little bumper sticker, you have to be prepared, if you put it on your car, to lead someone to the Lord. See, why didn't you have to track down a bumper sticker in order to find salvation? Probably because everyone is seeing him as maybe a sinner instead of a sheep without a shepherd. And we spoke about that on last evening, about a lot of times that we as Christians, we look at the sinners and we look at them just as that, just as sinners. We don't look at them as sheep that is lost without a shepherd. It's as if you go into a mall or something and you see a toddler running around crying and they're looking lost. Most of us, that will touch our hearts, and our heartstrings will reach out to that little person and try to make sure that we get them safe back into the arms of their parents. Amen? Well, that's the same way we should be looking when we see sinners. You know, it should touch our hearts and want to get that lost sheep to its shepherd. But so many times, we look at that person and all we see is the sin. All we see is the sin, and we'll allow that sin, that person's sin now, to make us angry, to get on us and just make us, you know, dislike the person. I don't want to be around the person. And not only we can just label them, but then we open our mouths and start to speak against them to others and try to convince them to look at his sin, though. Don't you see the sin of this person? Amen? To look at the woman that was caught in adultery, all of the ones that she was in adultery with, you know, decided to, because they were busted, probably by their spouses and the people in the city, that they decided to all come against her. They didn't point the finger back at them and say, yeah, we were the ones that was with her. But no, they said it was because of her love that was turning us out. She's the one who's the bad person. So, you know, they were looking at her sin. They never looked at anything else but her sin. And so if we can just remember that they're just sheep without shepherds. We were all lost sheep without shepherds. And we're still lost in a lot of ways today. That's why we continually need our shepherd forever and ever and ever. He always will be our Lord and our Savior, our shepherd. Without him, we are nothing. Without him, we are nothing. And I don't care how long we've been following him. We can't do it without our shepherd. And yet this man was so ready that he literally tracked somebody down that he thought might be able to show him the way. He literally decided, I'm going to follow this car. Because I'm looking at the back, and I believe, I'm so ready to find out about this guy. I'm so ready for him to just surrender all of the things that I'm going through to this Jesus. And this may be my only hope today. And I'm, you know, that's more than some of us do. Some of us, you know, we claim to be Christians. I'm not going to say that all of our claims are false. But however, we will go throughout the day and don't think once to read his word. We don't think once to steal away and just woof out with the Lord and just allow him to talk to us and we talk to him. And we're able to go through days and days and months and years without actually picking up our word. I'm not talking about on Sunday or Wednesday when the leaders are telling you, turn here and read this here with me. Because most of the times we turn there, but unless they tell us to read it, we really don't read it, right? You just kind of listen to whatever they're saying and you just take their word at it. Is that, you know? So I was actually just wanting to be in communication with him. But this man was burning on fire, and he decided that this bumper sticker is my opportunity, and I'm not going to let it go. You know, that could have went a lot of different ways, him following behind someone. But he said, I'm not going to let it go. I want to increase my communication with the Lord, and this is my opportunity. And I'm not going to let this opportunity just pass me by. So he was just so ready to come to the Lord. You know, how many people have you come into contact with that did not know God? And I'm going to give you a second just to think about that. How many people today, let's just say today, that you have personally came in contact with today that did not know God? That did not know God. Well, did you seize the opportunity to direct them to the good shepherd? Or did you see them as a sinner going to hell and you just, you know, just turn your head, just shrug it off, you know? Were you ready to show them the way? You know, what if it was your child that was out there lost? Would you want somebody to show them the way? But look at our Father's child. It's our Father's children that is out here lost. And he wants us to show them the way. He's depending on us to show them the way. See, we speak about that we love him, but he says, if we really love him, feed my sheep. You're going to feed them with the word of God. You're going to feed them by leading them to the shepherd. So we have to watch ourselves very closely. You know, this walk of Christ in Christianity can be complex, and we make it even more harder just by thinking that we've got it, or we get to the point that we're allowing the enemy to fool us, and we end up entertaining ourselves and not really pleasing God, not really doing the work of God. And we spend billions and billions on the wrong things if it were religious or Christianity, but we won't help our neighbor. But we look at the man that's in sin and only can see his sin. We can't see our God. We can only see the sin. And we can't see that that's a child of God and that he's wanting us to bring his child back to him, to lead his lost sheep back to him. Were you ready to show someone the way back to the shepherd? You know, people without any real religious faith that are unresponsive to your previous efforts will respond when you treat them as the lost sheep, not as sinners. We must realize that they've been blinded by the God of this world. So we have to realize that. And they just wandered off into the wrong pastures. We all have wandered off to the wrong pastures because at some point in this world we get blind. We were born into sin. And then you just get blinded by the gods of this world. And I say many times, we're all serving some god or gods. It's just their God may not be the right God, the true God. But it's a lost sheep. And we have to realize that they're just blinded by the gods of this world. And they just wandered off. They may start it out right, but just wandered off in the wrong pasture, wrong direction. But all they need is someone to show compassion on them. All they need is someone to introduce them to the good shepherd. And you say, well, I'll leave that up to you, Minister Vaughn. You said you've been called and chosen to preach and teach. So that's me doing my job, but what about you doing your job? We all are ministers for the Lord. We all should be ministering for the kingdom. Remember, millions of people, we were talking about the last evening, and right now there's over 7 billion people in this world. But it's been said that only 1/3 have heard the word of God. Why is that? Part of that 1/3 you ran into today on your job, in your schools, maybe it's a red light. But believe me, every day we're seeing some of that 1/3 of the 70 billion people, only 1/3 have heard about Jesus Christ. So number one, since you're the 1/3 that you've ran into on your job and in your schools, did you talk to them and everything was fine and you said your hallelujahs and you just praised God and God is good all the time? But what about the other? What about the other half? What about the other 2/3? You ran into them today also. Did you talk to them? Did you share with them? How did you feel about what they have to say today of their relationship? I challenge each and every one of us tomorrow. When we're looking, remember to look at the person and not at a lost sheep. Look at the person as your father's child. And remember that he's depending on you to lead that lost sheep back to the shepherd. Amen? Amen. All they need is just you to show them a little compassion. Show them a little love. And then introduce them to the good shepherd when you know what it is. Remember, millions of people are looking for directions. And they're just looking for directions. And that's what Jesus brings. He brings direction. Why wouldn't you give them the right direction? Most of the time, if a stranger should stop and ask you, how do I get to this location from where I am right now, you will try, if you know that location, you will try your hardest to give them the correct information. And since we know that millions of people are looking for directions, why would we not just bring them to Jesus? Since we know that Jesus brings direction. Many people are looking for healing. Why would we not lead them to Jesus? Since we know that Jesus brings about healing, comfort, love, positivity. It's a negative thing going around, and it's just because of all of the experiences in the world that come off so negative that people store those things in their heart. And they said everyone else is negative and everything is always happening, so I'm just going to store this negativity in my heart because I feel like I got to get back at them. I got to get the world before the world gets me. You know? I'm not going to be any fool. I got to get the world before the world gets me. Amen? Amen. It is up to us to make sure we are doing our part. Doing our part. Because for centuries, the church has given the world, you know, this sometimes mean-spirited religion. Instead of giving them the care, instead of giving them concern and the wisdom of the shepherd, but the church has given the world a lot of different misconceptions that sometimes just have them running away from us. You know, if they were weird or strange. Not for queer, you're just weird. You ever met someone that they're just so, the way they even speak, you know, they look down at you if you do anything. Oh, no, I don't watch TV. That's too worldly. It's just so many things that they don't do that it becomes kind of spooky. They become strange. You want to move away from them. You find yourself stepping over to the side. Like, okay, let them by. Oh, here they come. That shouldn't be the way that it is. We should be showing the world that we care. See, we should be showing the world that God is full of wisdom. We were never meant to clean the fish before we catch the fish. That's God's job to clean them out. We were never meant to clean the fish before we even catch them. And that's our mistakes. We run up and we start telling them all the things, and you should do this, and you shouldn't do that, and this is bad, and you haven't even caught the fish yet. And you just gut it and clean it out. That's not a good feeling, and they're not going to receive it. So I ask you to search your heart today. If you've gotten religious and hard-hearted about winning souls, I ask you to just pray right now for God to just soften your heart. Decide that you're going to put away that religious whip and that you're going to see through the eyes of Jesus with compassion. Because you were designed to be a soul winner. You were designed to be a soul winner. You know, Jesus knows who's at the corner of receiving. And he was the people our way. Hallelujah. You have to be ready to witness at any time. And that's why you have to watch what you're doing. If you still are struggling with alcohol, or you're still struggling with different drugs, and but you're trying to get a closer relationship with Christ, and you're trying to lay that thing down, and you're trying to better it, and you're already naming it and claiming it, you have to watch yourself very closely. Because the moment that you give in that you want to go and hang out and be drinking and drug or be unfaithful, you know, that could just be right at the moment that God put someone in your pathway for you to minister to. And they're going to look at you with your dirty vessel doing the same thing that they're doing and receive. They're not going to be able to receive the pureness of God's word from you. Because all they're going to be able to see is the drunkenness on you, the fornication and adultery on you. So sometimes we can refer to that not let the left hand know what the right hand is doing. I'm not saying you should have these dirty secrets that you're hiding in your closet that you're just not dealing with. That come back to bite you real fast, real quick. But as you're struggling to stop the lies or whatever it is that, you know, we all have our own little vices that really can hold us down, and we have to pray about and work hard to stay away from and overcome. And why are you doing that? That's what I'm talking about. You just have to make sure that while you're at those stages, that you're not just giving in and going and sitting down on the corner and gambling with the ones that are down there that you need to be ministering with. Jesus knows who's at the corner receiving, and he will send the people our way. We have to be ready to minister to them, to be a witness for God at any time. You know, that's why many are called, but only few are actually chosen. And we have to be concerned with soul winning. And it has to be on a grander scale, too. Sending the gospel around the world. You say, well, why does it have to be so important at all times? And the answer is just because each person is important to the Lord, whether they live in your community or halfway around the world. But you remember, Jesus is the good shepherd that left the 99 to look for the one that was lost. He's the good shepherd, and he left the 99. He had a situation put aside to go find the one that was lost. However, though, he is a true caregiver, and he would not let that one little lamb go. And we all let one little lamb. He refused to let that one little lamb go. So sure, there are some bad sheep in the church, as well as outside of the church. They may be saved, but they start wandering, and they lose their way. And then we should just stop talking about them as they wander away. We promise to stop them with just a little love, a little compassion, but we rather sometimes just stand and talk about them and watch them just wander farther and farther away from the Lord. Now, maybe they're running from the sheep shears, your lies. For some reason or another, some people in the church are always trying to shave some of the sheep's wool. Always got something to say. And sometimes they think they're doing them a favor by criticizing or critiquing them. But really, they're just making them run for cover. People run from you. They don't want to be, they don't want to receive anything from you. Because you're harsh. Because of what you do, what you say, they run for cover. Then we should be grooming one another. Grooming each other with wisdom. Grooming each other and painting each other with joy. Enjoying each other. And the jealousy and envy thing, we shouldn't be jealous of what your neighbor has. When you're blessed, I should be rejoicing for your blessings. Because I know my blessings may come in a different form, but God doesn't just bless some. Just like he does not allow pain to just hit some or troubles to just come in some ways. And he brings on the just and the unjust. So instead of spending our time being jealous of my sister or my brother because they're blessed now with different things, and especially materialistic things, come on. What? Those things just rust and fade away. It's nothing wrong with having nice things. Don't get me wrong now. Hear me from the Spirit. Enjoy what you have. But you know, some of us have some things on the inside of us that no money can buy. No money can purchase what we have on the inside of us. We can go through some deep tunnels that some of these people, most richest people, could never make it through. Could never make it through. So don't you dare be jealous of somebody else's materialistic things when you have so much talent inside of you, so much faith, such a relationship with the Lord that you can make it through, that you can call and get someone to the shepherd, get lost sheep to the shepherd all day long because you can feel calling on your life, because you just made that choice. That instead of this is what I want to do. Now, if any of those that have money that is doing that, it surely is. It most definitely is. It is nothing wrong with having it. Not at all. And even having it will always cause you to want to give. You want to see others have it too. You don't want that jealousy in your heart where I want to be the one to pull up in this. You want to share with others. If whatever you get, you should be able to give something else to somebody else to bring them up in the world. You know, it says a one man's trash is another man's treasure. Take what you're not using and pass it on and make someone else happy. Bless someone else with it. Hallelujah. So we should be spending our time with joy. Maybe you are a bad sheep that's outside of the church. And maybe the reason you never really gave your life to God, even though you may go to church every Sunday, even though you decided that you're never going to go, and that's why you hang in the clubs every time that it's open. Maybe the real reason that you're hiding behind those barn walls and never have really given your life to God is because everyone always told you how bad of a sinner you were. Or you may be telling yourself how bad of a sinner you are. You may be telling yourself, you know, I enjoy sinning, and I'm not ready to give it up. Because you may think there's nothing else out there that's going to give you that joy. This is the only way that you can find that this is joy. That's just why I'm saying that I can eat just this one food, and I enjoy it, but you know what? I don't want to try any other foods, because it's all this food that's going to give me this joy. Give me this sensation. No, we don't do that. We try different things. And some of us are trying all kinds of different things. Not me, but some of us were trying lots of different things. So maybe that's the reason why you never gave your life to God. It's because either you've been told by everyone, reminded of all of your bad sins, or you just can't forget yourself. Can't forgive yourself. You can't get over something that you've done. I invite you tonight to just forget about all of that. And just ask yourself, is that true? Am I such a bad person that I could not receive God's love and compassion? Ask yourself, is that true? How could Jesus have had compassion on the prostitute that he had seven devils out of, and not have compassion on me? It's because he did not see her as a sinner that he had just cast seven devils out of. He didn't see her as a sinner that was so hard or so bad or had done so much that it was going to be just too much to him. But Jesus saw her as a valuable lost sheep, a valuable lost sheep that was in need of his love, that was in need of his grace, that was in need of his guidance. Amen? Amen. Well, we're going to stop right there for tonight, and we'll pick up tomorrow night if it is the willing of the Lord, and we'll just continue on just talking about a Jesus that is easily touched. It's so easy to come to Jesus. And, you know, if you seek him, he says, you will find him. He's easily found. He's easily to touch. And he will easily touch you. And all you need is one touch from the Lord. And it'll change the way you think. It'll change the way that you speak. it will change your life. And this is literally, it's not figurative, this is literally. You know, Jesus came for you. Jesus came here for you. Jesus pursued us. He pursued us with his grace. And then he overtook us in our sin. Right in the midst of our sin, he overtook us. While we were running away from him, we ran to his grace. Jesus came for you. Jesus died for you. And you said, why would he come for me? Why would Jesus die for me? His reason is love. It was love that drove Jesus to the manger. And it was love that sent Jesus to the cross. It's an amazing love that housed God's own desire for a family reconciled. God has a desire to be reconciled with you. So he gave his only begotten son. See, that's love. That's love. God is love. And the embodiment of it, of his divine love, is the son that he sent to save you, Jesus Christ. Now it's up to you. Will you accept God's love today? That is the invitation that has been offered to you. Will you accept God's love today? If you're ready, all you have to do is pray this prayer. Just open up your heart and let these simple words be your guide. Just think of these words and believe them in your heart, and you will be born again. Okay, here we go. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. And I ask you to cleanse my heart and make me a new person in you right now. I do believe that you are the Son of God. I do believe that you died on the cross for me, Jesus. And I do want to thank you for just loving me enough to die for me. I accept all that your shed blood bought for me on that cross. And I receive you now as my Savior and Lord. Amen. 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 Jesus thinks you are, he thinks that you're worth winning. And if you just pray this prayer, you are a new creature in Christ. Friends, you have a whole new life with Jesus to look forward to starting right now. Your slate is clean before God. Your spirit has been reborn because of Christ's great sacrifice, his great love for you. It's important that you let someone know of your decision to follow Christ. You can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. Again, it's walkwithmegod@aol.com. We'll be more than happy to pray with you, to send out any materials that will help you on your Christian walk. And again, this is your minister friend, your host, Evangelist Von Dillon. And I love you, and I love praying with you. I love hearing from you. I get excited. I truly get excited. I thank you for just coming out with us and just saying, praying for the ministry. You know, just that something short just gives me joy in my heart. You know, I pray for you today, Minister Vaughn. And yeah, I love to listen to the long letters that you email me. That's wonderful, too. I'm just trying to say that any little thing, as we reach out with each other and as you give your praise reports on how God is with you, it just burns the heart. Well, we came to the end of another show, and you know that I love you, but most importantly, Jesus loves you more. So I ask you to ask yourself, are you ready to lead a lost sheep to the shepherd? Carry that with you. We'll talk about it again tomorrow, shall we? You have a blessed night. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.